If you want to follow this message in your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 136 on the Bayside Church website. You will find some message notes and discussion questions as well. And I want to wrap up this weekend the series Good God. This is part 6. And you'll find the entire series on our Bayside Church website. Go to baysidechurch.com.au, click on the menu, and then connect with God. On the left-hand side, you'll see a number of options. One of those is teaching series. And if you click on that, we'll bring up all of the teaching series from the last couple of decades. And there's dozens and dozens of teaching series there, all in alphabetical order. And of course, under G, you will find the Good God series. Today's title is God is Good All the Time. And if you've been around church life for a while, you'll remember this, particularly in the 90s. It was a bit of a cliche, and the pastor would say, God is good, and all the people would say, all the time. And then the pastor would say, all the time, and all the people would say, God is good. It was brought to Australia, I think, by an American. So it always sounds better with a southern drawl, you know. God is good all the time. And so that's what I'm going to be sharing with you this weekend. So we're going to pick this up at Psalm 136. And this is an amazing psalm. We're not going to read the whole thing. You can do that in your own time. But the first 9 verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. And so it goes on all the way through the 26 verses, and a statement is made, and then the refrain, his love endures forever. This song, this psalm, was written over 3,000 years ago, and it was used in the Hebrew temple in Jerusalem as a responsorial or a responsive chant. And so the priest would be at the front and he would sing, you know, the Lord is good. And everyone would sing back, his love endures forever, but probably all in a minor key because that was Israel. Reminds me of the story of the monks who used to get up very early, 5 o'clock every morning. They'd be in the abbey to do their morning prayers. And the abbot always liked to sing with a response. And so he would sing, good morning. And all the monks would go, good morning. And normally that's the way he would start morning prayers. But on this particular morning, there was one of the monks who hadn't really woken up properly. And so when they all sang back, good morning, he sang, good evening. And the abbot was a bit miffed by this. He thought, okay, I'll give this another go. So the abbot sang, good morning. And all the monks sang good morning except for the one monk, good evening. The abbot stopped and he said, someone chanted evening. And so that was a responsorial psalm like we see here in Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. And that's what we've been exploring in this series. I'm going to just give you a quick overview of the journey so far, and then I'm going to wrap it all up by looking at several verses in the Bible. First of all, we started with the Lord is good to all. Psalm 145 and verse 9, the Lord is good to all people, to his entire creation. But then over the next few weeks, we address some of the barriers because we think, okay, so God is good, but we got some problems here. We've got suffering, pain, and evil in the world. We've got verses in the Bible where God seems to be anything but good. He seems to be very violent. And also other verses where God seems to be full of wrath and anger. And so we explored some of this over the last few weeks. We learned that the good God has allowed for suffering in his creation because that's the only way that life as we know it could exist. In God's creation, he allowed for natural law and human freedom. So the laws of nature, without the laws of nature, life would be impossible on this planet. Without human freedom, life as we know it would not be a possibility. One of the things we're seeing in the world at the moment, of course, is a global pandemic. And pandemics, yep, God created viruses, he created bacteria. Life could not exist without them. And because of the laws of nature and because of human freedom, from time to time, we see a virus or a bacteria kind of cross into the human stream and cause a pandemic. I was reading a fascinating article about this during the week from National Geographic. And regarding viruses, they said that there are more than a quadrillion individual viruses on planet Earth. That's 10 to the power of 31, or 10 and 31 zeros. That's a lot. To put it in context, there is enough viruses on the planet to assign one to every star in the universe 100 million times over. So that's a lot of viruses. The good news, of course, is that most of them are not poised to hop into humans. Some viruses, of course, cause disease. Pandemics have caused by viruses have occurred regularly throughout human history. Just over 100 years ago, the world was coming out of the First World War. In 1918, people were getting very excited by the war drawing to a conclusion, only to see the Spanish flu break out. And over the next few years, it killed up to 100 million people. Just in the last century, the 20th century, the smallpox virus yet again broke out and killed roughly 200 million people in the last century alone around the world. The last case of smallpox was detected in 1977, and in 1980, smallpox was declared to have been eradicated. I, for one, am very grateful for modern medicine and the production of vaccines that have led to either the eradication or harm minimization of viruses that have caused pandemics in the past. But viruses do good things too. Friendly viruses help protect us from dangerous bacteria. You're seeing a picture of a friendly virus right now. If viruses disappeared, some bacteria would explode in number. Viruses have roles to play in supporting a healthy environment. Microbes in the ocean produce about half of the oxygen on planet Earth, and that process has been enabled by viruses. So if you take a big, deep breath in now, and then think about that breath, 50% of the oxygen that you just took in was thanks to the viruses working against or working with microbes in the ocean to provide oxygen. Tony Goldberg, an epidemiologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, put it this way: if all viruses suddenly disappeared, the world would be a wonderful place for about a day and a half, and then we'd all die. That's the bottom line. All the essential things they do in the world far outweigh the bad things. And so that's viruses, bacteria. Not as many bacteria. There's only 5 million trillion trillion, or 5 to the power of 30, so about half the number of viruses. They've caused pandemics like the bubonic plague, cholera and tuberculosis. But they too do good things, as you see in that picture now. Yes, they're ugly, but they are all smiling. Bacteria break down carbohydrates or sugars and toxins. Next time you hoe into a bar of chocolate, give thanks for the bacteria who are working on that thing. And they also aid cell growth. They protect cells and repair damaged tissue in our bodies. Good bacteria help our bodies digest food and absorb nutrients. And they produce several vitamins in the intestinal tract, including folic acid, niacin, and vitamins B6 and B12, things that you can also get by eating your Weetabix every morning. Then we looked at the good book, and particularly not just how the Bible works, but the arc of Scripture, how it works, how it progresses. Now, at this point, I will just tell you, as I'm making this movement, apparently I did this last week, and a member of Bayside was watching Bayside Church online, and as I did that, her screen froze, and so she sent me this photo, which I think is a wonderful photo. I look quite angelic, and you'll notice there's light coming from my left hand, so I'll leave that up to you, what you think that might be, but I love that photo. But what we see there in Scripture is that Scripture is moving. The Bible is alive and active, and it's taking us on a journey. Yes, in the earlier or more ancient parts of the Bible, God is a warrior God. He's got a shield and sword, and he's angry and violent. And that's because people were looking at God through the framework of their culture. What we had 3,000, 4,000 plus years ago was a bunch of nomadic warrior tribes, and they saw God through the glasses of their culture and of their time. And God was happy for them to see him in that way, because God is always wanting to connect with people where they're at, but then he wants to take us on this journey. Of course, we still do the same today. I've heard people, you know, they're praying for their football team to win, as if God's going, you know, oh no, they're called demons, so we don't want them to win. I'm going to push this guy over so he gets injured. We're going to cheer this team on because they're the saints and we want them to win. God's not doing that, okay? As much as we might like to think he is, God is just kind of attending to some maybe more important things in the world. Not saying AFL is not important, but what we do see is this progression from warrior God to the person of God that we see reflected when God came in human form, that is, in the person of Jesus. And so in Jesus, we see that God wants to deliver, not destroy. He wants to save and not to slaughter. And then we looked at the good God and wrath, again with the arc of Scripture, God going from this volatile, angry kind of character that we see in some of the earlier parts of the Bible, through to the New Testament revelation of wrath being literally the painful results of God letting us have our way. Not that, you know, when we make wrong choices, God is not there to send thunderbolts and lightning and all of that kind of thing. God just, because he's given us free will, he says, okay, I don't like the way you're going. I don't like the choices that you're making. It's going to create pain for you and for the people around you, but I'm not controlling you because I've given you free will. And so what we experience then is what the New Testament refers to as the wrath. And then last week, God is in control, question mark. And we found out that God is not in control, but he is in charge. God is sovereign in that he is overseeing history and he's taking it on a journey. Sometimes I hear people say, what on earth is the world coming to? Well, the good news is that the world is coming to the second coming of Jesus Christ when God ushers us into eternity, all those who are living righteous lives in Jesus Christ. God does not do control, but he does care, because God is good all the time. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And that is the overarching revelation of the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures. So let's do a quick tour of the Bible and let's take a snapshot of God's goodness in different verses. The first reference we find to good in the Scriptures is the very first chapter of the very first book, Genesis chapter 1. We don't even have to wait very long. We get into verse 4 and we find the first statement. As God is creating the heavens and the earth, and he says about light, it was good. And then all the way through that chapter, it was good, it was good, it was good. And he gets to the end, he goes, it's very good. And Paul agreed in 1 Timothy 4, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. Of course, in context there, Paul is writing about food. He said, you can eat anything you want to, which is quite a revelation for a guy who was raised as a Jew in Hebrew culture with the Hebrew law. And he gets to this revelation finally, as an old man, and he thinks it's actually okay to eat bacon. I am so glad. Joshua's last words, let's have a look at those in Joshua 23 and verse 14. He says, "Now I am about to go the way of all the earth." What Joshua means here, by the way, is he's going to die. But he was obviously in a dramatic mood. And so he's going the way of all the earth. "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." Isn't that wonderful? We can really latch on and trust God because He is good and His good promises will come to pass. He won't fail in any one of them. And once again, the Apostle Paul agrees, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Wonderful, wonderful news. Here's a brilliant prayer as we continue our little tour around the Bible. Psalm 143 and verse 10. "Teach me your will," or "teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." There's a prayer we can pray in our workplaces, in our businesses, our homes, our families, wherever we go. Let's pray this together right now. Let's say this together. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." The good spirit of God, that which emanates from a good God, is goodness. Level ground there is an interesting word. It can be translated as plateau or plain. It's a place where there's no hiding places. There's no rocky crags where an enemy could be hiding behind. Everything is clear and seen. And we're praying that through the goodness of God, He would lead us into such a place. And then, of course, there's Jesus' revelation of the goodness of God. In Acts 10:38, it tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and that He went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. Jesus, in His life and ministry on earth, He went around and He emanated the very nature of God because He was God, and that is, He demonstrated goodness everywhere He went. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 7:11. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" There's a bit of a comparison here. Jesus is saying, even though you're evil, and evil is actually not a very good translation of that Greek word. You can't really pick one English word for that. The word there literally means the potential for behavior that is less than kind. Because, you know, I'm a dad, and as a parent, I don't think I'm an evil parent, you know, woo-ha-ha-ha, that kind of evil. But I do know that I have the potential at times to be less than kind. And at times like that, I go, not good parenting, Rob. And I go and apologize to my kids, which I've done many times over the years. But this wonderful comparison, even though we have the potential to be less than kind, we still know how to demonstrate goodness to our kids. How much more will God, the perfect Father, demonstrate goodness to you and to me as we follow Him? Interesting scripture in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, where a certain ruler came to Jesus and asked Him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Look at Jesus' response here. "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, some people have interpreted that to say, there you go, see, Jesus isn't God. He said He wasn't God. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's actually asking the question, are you actually recognizing who I am? Are you recognizing that I'm God in human form? And is that why you're addressing me as good? Because only God is good. In fact, God is so good that He even turns bad things, the suffering and the pain that's caused quite often by our own silly choices, He turns around to good. I love the statement of Paul in Romans 8:28. He says, "We know that in all things, or all things work together for good to those who love God. All things work together for good. God is taking our good choices, our bad choices, our mistakes, all the mistakes and choices of other people around us, and like a weaving an amazing tapestry. At times we can only see the back of the tapestry, which is full of loose ends, and it all looks a bit weird, and we've got all of these questions. What sort of picture is God making here? And then he turns it around and we go, ah, I see now. What an amazing picture. All things have been woven together for our good because God loves us. That's what we see in Joseph's life. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was only 17, just a teenager when that happened. He was sold into slavery, taken to Egypt, foreign country, strange people. He was a slave, then wrongly accused, thrown into jail, forgotten. And, you know, we read that just in a few verses or a couple of chapters in the book of Genesis. But you think about this. He went through this rejection and prison and all of that for 13 years. That's a big chunk. He spent the rest of his teenage life and all of his 20s in slavery and in prison. That's enough to make someone pretty bitter and angry, isn't it? But what do we see in Joseph? No. Just patiently waiting on God and trusting in the Lord. And God promoted him at the right time. When his brothers were finally reunited with Joseph, he said these stunning words to them. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I love his perspective. All of his suffering wasn't just about him. We need to take our eyes off ourselves at times and see that God is wanting to bless us as individuals, yes, but his purpose is far beyond me, far beyond you. He cares for all people and he wants to bless others. And over the process of time, that will be clearly seen. God is good all the time and he has called us to be just like him. And so I'm going to wrap this up with a couple more verses. Have a look at Ephesians 5:1, where the Apostle Paul encourages the Ephesian church and us, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Why? Well, he tells us in another part of that same letter, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that's the church's mission. It's every church and every follower of Jesus Christ. We are children of a good God who spread his goodness to others as we have opportunity. We are here to be a blessing, to see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. For he is good. His love endures forever. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good because the Lord is good to all. And so, people of God, can I encourage you in your lives every day, think about God is good and then he has called you to imitate him and to bring goodness wherever you go, into your workplaces, into your families, amongst your friends, wherever you go, when you're driving, wherever you are, if you're a boss and you're leading other people, or if you're a member of staff or a member of a team, how can I demonstrate the goodness of God in my everyday life? Earlier in Bayside Church Online, you saw a short video on the wonderful ministry of Acres of Love. That is an extension of the goodness of God as reflected in our church community. Hundreds of people have supported the Acres of Love Bayside Church Forever Home over the last 20 years, and I'm so grateful to each and every one of you. Just gone on our Friday night, we were supposed to have our annual trivia night, but because we're in a lockdown, we had to cancel our trivia night. And that is the number one fundraising activity that we do every year for Bayside Community Care, which includes financial support for the Forever Home. And so as an extension of the goodness of God and as a reflection of the goodness of God, if the Spirit of God so moves you at this time, if you want to make a donation to Bayside Community Care for the Acres of Love Forever Home, for Matt's Place, as we feed disadvantaged people around the Bayside area, hampers and all the different things that you'll find there, I encourage you to go on to the website, baysidecommunitycare.com.au. Spend a bit of time just having a look at all the wonderful ministries that are being done by the charity arm of Bayside Church. And if God so moves you, and if you're in a position where you would like to give something in addition to your regular tithes and giving, please do feel free to give a gift to Bayside Community Care and help us as a church community continue to support the Forever Home, continue to support Matt's Place and all of the wonderful ministries of Bayside Community Care. God bless you as you consider that. And I want to just pray for you right now before we go into a short time of worship and just encourage you to think about the goodness of God and to see God as good. He's not angry. He's not wrathful. He is not violent. We see in Jesus Christ what God is really like, a God who would rather be killed by his enemies than kill his enemies. And so if you've got anything still in your mind from previous teaching that you've had in church life where God is kind of sometimes good but sometimes not good, I just pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that your mind will be renewed and that you will start to see God as good. If that's been a barrier to you coming to Jesus, that you think maybe God's not 100% good, well, I hope I've removed that barrier for you in this teaching series. And can I encourage you now to take that step of faith and to come and worship and to lay your life down before the feet of Jesus Christ, our very good God. If you'd like some help in making a decision to follow Jesus Christ, just click on the link in the chat feed or in the notes below if you're watching this on YouTube. And you can fill out that form just very quickly. And through your details, we'll send you a Bible and some information about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. God bless you as you do that.